Hello, welcome back to I Promise to Shoot You If You Become a Zombie. Today, I'm so excited! We have a new guest. Say hello!
Hi.
My daughter Jolie is joining us! I'm so excited! We're going to talk about the Black Dahlia. I know y'all have heard of the Black Dahlia. It is a very popular case, and when I asked Jolie what she wanted to do an episode on, this is what she chose. Yeah, that's my daughter, y'all. So, I hope that y'all enjoy this fun episode with me and my daughter, and we're going to talk about the Black Dahlia. So, come back! Okay, so the Black Dahlia, her real name was Elizabeth Short. And Jolie, what made you want to do the episode on the Black Dahlia?
I've watched Sam and Colby a lot, and they had a video where they went to a hotel and her death was very popular there, and she just was the first thing that came to mind because I've been thinking about her a lot recently. I've heard a lot about her.
So the Sam and Colby YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so she wanted to do the Black Dahlia, so I said, okay, we will see what we can do. So the Black Dahlia was born July 29th. What year, Jolie?
1924.
And then she died on January what?
15th, 1947.
And she was found murdered in Lemire Park in Los Angeles, California. So, she was born in Boston, Massachusetts, and what made her case so popular, especially back then, was the fact that the pictures of her body were very graphic, as my child uncomfortably laughs at such a situation. But anyway, her body, it was awful, and she was basically cut in half at her waist.
Her pictures are actually on Google. And,
yes.
And I searched them up, and
yes.
They cut her nipples out.
Okay. Well, yes, and they do have the pictures on Google. Luckily, well, as far as I'm concerned, luckily, they are in black and white.
Yes.
So it's graphic, but it's not as graphic as it would be if it was in color. But that is how she became so well known, because in 1947, like, this stuff did not happen. You didn't see this in the media, and they showed it, and it was very graphic, and that's what made her case so well known. So you can actually go see her grave. She is buried in Mountain View Cemetery in Oakland, California. And I think people actually go and visit her grave, and a lot of people go and visit the spot where her body was found. She was only 22 when she died, which is really sad, especially I have a daughter that's 22, or 23. But yeah, so when you think of it like that, that's really scary. Okay, so she was born in Boston, Massachusetts. And Jolie, where did she spend her early years in life?
Medford, Massachusetts, and Florida.
And then after she did that, she moved to California where her dad lived. And she was also an aspiring actress. But she did not have any known films or projects that she had done while she was living in California. So, the nickname Black Dahlia, it is theorized that she got her nickname after she died because a drugstore owner said that some of the men customers that would come in the store would call her that. But there was also a film, and it was released when, Jolie?
April 9th. 1946.
April 1946, and that was almost a year before she was murdered. And that film was actually titled The Black Dahlia. Mm-mm. It wasn't?
The Blue Dahlia.
The Blue Dahlia? Okay. And they called her the Black Dahlia. I always figured it had something to do with the color of her hair. But that's just
that
me talking.
That is actually a very good statement, because I've heard a lot of people say that they got that nickname because her hair was black.
See, I'm smart. I think of things. So when her body was discovered, there happened to be how many suspects, Jolie?
150 suspects.
But there was never any arrest made on these suspects. So the Black Dahlia murder was actually, and still is, one of the most famous unsolved murders in American history. And what else, Jolie?
Also one of the oldest unsolved cases in LA County.
So, and that was in 1947. We're almost, like, we're 20 years away from 100 years ago, and it's still the most famous unsolved murder mystery case. So, Elizabeth Short was born in Boston, Massachusetts. And who were her parents, Jolie?
Cleo and Phoebe May Short.
Cleo and Phoebe May Short, and the family had actually relocated to where?
Portland, Maine, before settling in Medford, Massachusetts.
So she was born in Boston, then they moved to Maine, Portland, Maine, and then they ended up actually settling in Medford, Massachusetts, and that was done on the same year, 1927. So what did her dad do for a living?
He built miniature golf courses.
Okay, so he built miniature golf courses, and that happened until 1929 and the stock market crash. And that made them lose all of their savings, which it did to a lot of people at that time. And they ended up broke. Okay, so in 1930, Elizabeth's father, the Black Dahlia's father, his vehicle was found abandoned on the Charlestown Bridge, and they assumed that he had done what?
Committed suicide by jumping into the Charles River.
So, everybody thought that he had committed suicide. They thought he was dead. So, Elizabeth's mother moved her and her five daughters to an apartment in Medford, and she became a bookkeeper. So Elizabeth Short, she used to have breathing problems, lung problems. And when she was 15, she underwent a lung surgery. And the doctor suggested, because they lived in Massachusetts where it's cold, the doctor suggested that during the wintertime, they relocate to milder climates so that that air, you know, would be easier for her to breathe. So then what happened?
Her mother then sent her to spend winters in Miami, Florida with family friends.
So she was staying in Florida, in Miami, with some family friends to help her breathing. Okay, so in her sophomore year of high school, Elizabeth Short dropped out. And then, this is where it gets juicy. So, it says that in late 1942, Elizabeth's mother got an apology letter from who? From who? From who?
Her presumed deceased husband.
Her dead husband, who she thought was dead, is not dead. He wrote her a letter and he said, guess what? I'm alive. I'm a dead, but I'm alive.
Oh my God.
And he was living in California, just living it up, living a whole new life away from his wife and his children, and they thought he was dead. Y'all, this man is not nice. He's not a nice man. So when Dahlia turned 18 that December, she ended up moving to Vallejo, V-A-L-L-E-J-O. I probably butchered that name. But she ended up moving there in California with her dad, who she hasn't seen since she was 6 years old. And he was working where?
The nearby Mare Island Naval Shipyard.
So he was working in a shipyard. His family thinks he's dead. He's working in a shipyard, y'all. I don't like this man. Like, I don't like him. So, surprise, surprise, surprise. Elizabeth and her dad did not get along, and they were arguing. That caused her to say, see ya, Daddy, and she moved out in January of 1943. Yes. And she ended up getting a job. And where did she get this job at, Jolie?
Base exchange at Camp Cool.
Cook, you mean?
Cook.
Cook. Camp Cook.
That's a girl's name in my school.
Yes. So she was working there, and then she ended up living with some family friends, and then she also briefly stayed with an Army Air Force sergeant, and there were reports that he abused her. So in 1943... she said, holla, see you later at Lompoc, and left. And not long after that, she got arrested. Why did she get arrested, Jolie?
Underage drinking.
Underage drinking. She was in a bar when she did this, which, you know, I guess back then laws were different and they let underage kids in a bar because they don't even do that now. But she was in a bar and drinking, like, you know, a lot of kids do. They do the underage drinking thing. Don't act like you haven't. If you say you haven't, you're lying. That does not mean that you can do it.
I haven't.
That's good.
And I don't even like it.
That's good. But anyway, so she got arrested. And the juvenile authorities said, girl, California is not for you. And they sent her back to Medford, Massachusetts. But she ended up going back to Florida. And she only visited Massachusetts, you know, every now and then. Massachusetts was not where she wanted to be. And so she went to Florida. So while she was in Florida, she met a man. Y'all know the story. His name was Major Matthew Michael Gordon Jr. That's a long name to remember, but I got it, y'all. So she met him, and what did he do as a living? What was he doing in Florida?
He was a decorated Army Air Force officer.
And what was he doing at the time that they met? He was a decorated Army Air Force officer. Where did they meet? Jolie's having a brain fog. Let's see. They met. He was... Y'all bear with me, okay? I'm recording with a teenage daughter, and we're doing the best we can. So, Matthew Michael Gordon Jr., he was at the 2nd Air Commando Group when she met him, and he was training for deployment to the China-Burma-India Theater of Operations of World War II. So, boy was doing the thing, and she met her an Army man, another Army man. So, she's got her man, and he's in the Army, and she's happy. And Elizabeth told some of her friends that Gordon had actually written her a letter of proposal while he was recovering from a plane crash in India. And she accepted the proposal. She was happy, and she was going to get married. Unfortunately, Gordon died in a second plane crash less than a week before what?
The surrender of Japan.
The surrender of Japan. So he was almost done, y'all, and he died, and that's sad to me. So after that, she relocated back to California
to visit another man in the army. This girl liked her some army men, okay? I mean, who can blame her? They are beautiful in uniform, but anyway. So she was visiting Joseph Gordon Fickling. He was an Air Force Navy lieutenant, or Air Force Army lieutenant, excuse me. And she spent the last 6 months of her life in California, mostly in L.A. So she's doing that, and she was waitressing a lot at the time. So shortly before she died, she was actually a waitress at a nightclub, and she also rented a room from that nightclub. They had rooms there, and she rented it. And what was the name of the nightclub?
Florentine Gardens Nightclub.
Florentine Gardens Nightclub, and it was on Hollywood Boulevard. Okay, so on January 9th, 1947, like just a few days before she was murdered, she returns home from San Diego. She returned home to L.A. She went on a little mini vacay with a fella. His name was, let's see, his name was Robert Red Manley. He was 25 years old, and he was also married. Married, yes. And so they went on a little mini vacay to San Diego, and then she came home. So, Mr. Manley, he said that he dropped Elizabeth off. Where did he drop her off?
The Biltmore Hotel.
And how do you know about the Biltmore Hotel?
Because that was the place, the hotel that Sam and Colby went to when I saw their video talking about Black Dahlia.
So, the Biltmore Hotel, and it was located in Los Angeles, and he says that he dropped her off there, and she was later supposed to go meet her sister that afternoon, who was visiting from Boston. So, some people of the Biltmore Hotel, like the staff, said that they remember seeing Elizabeth use the lobby telephone. Okay, so she was also allegedly seen at the cocktail lounge. What was the name of the cocktail lounge?
Crown Grill Cocktail Lounge.
Okay, Crown Grill Cocktail Lounge. Allegedly, some of the patrons there had seen her, and the cocktail lounge was like 0.4 miles away from the hotel, so it was like right there next to the hotel. And then, Jolie, what are you trying to say?
So, that's Sam and Colby went to the Biltmore Hotel, and they rented a couple of rooms. There were like specific rooms that are famous there, and I don't remember what they were, but they ended up in one of the rooms that they went into. They ended up getting a call, and Corey is one of Sam and Colby's friends. They started to get a call in the room, and they picked up the phone, and Corey was the one that picked up the phone, and ever since that, the Biltmore Hotel video, he's been the only one that's gotten calls from unknown numbers. And apparently Dahlia was last seen on the phone before her death. So Sam and Colby and everyone else in that group has always been scared every single time he gets a call from an unknown number.
That's a little bit creepy. I think I'd be a little bit nervous.
And they can't block it because it says unknown number. He don't have that number to block. So.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. I wonder if, like, the phone company, even though it's blocked from the phone, if the phone company can trace the phone call. Like, they should really check that out.
I don't think so, but that they could try that.
Well, so, after she was seen at the cocktail lounge, let's see. On the morning of January 15th, 1947, that's when they found Elizabeth Short's naked body, and it was severed into two pieces, top and bottom, and that was in Lemire Park in L.A. So, at the time of them discovering Elizabeth Short's body, the Lemire Park neighborhood was mostly undeveloped, and a local resident, Betty What was Betty's last name?
Bursinger. Betty Bursinger was out walking with her three-year-old daughter. Her three-year-old baby girl was walking with her, and they discovered the body. And initially, Betty thought that the body was like a discarded mannequin from a store until she got closer. And once she realized that this is not a mannequin, this is a person, she ran to a neighbor's house to call the police. And police came and found her body, and she was completely severed from the waist, like waist down. She was severed, waist was cut off, and she was drained of blood. And they thought that she had probably been dead for about 10 hours before her body was discovered.
And there was no blood at the scene. Like, no one found the blood and what they did with the drained blood. I heard that they drained the blood in a tub and just went down the drain.
So that sounds like her body was not, she was not killed there, is what it sounds like to me. It sounds like she was killed somewhere else and then dumped there. But this is also probably why there are so many conspiracy theories when it comes to this case, because of the way that they found her body. And like Jolie said, there was no blood on the scene. There was a lot of conspiracy theories. There still are a lot of conspiracy theories to this case. Okay, so this next part, I am going to explain what her... body looked like when they found it, and it's a little graphic, so I'm just going to go ahead and give y'all that little warning. If you don't want to hear it, you can fast forward, you know, until the end of this section, but I feel like it's important to tell. It's part of the story. It's part of what made her known. So her body had apparently been washed by the killer, and her face had been slashed from the corners of her mouth to her ears. This created something known as the Glasgow smile. And she had several cuts on her thighs and breast where entire portions of flesh had been sliced away. Oh, that's just awful. The lower half of her body was positioned a foot away from the upper part of her body, and her intestines had been tucked neatly beneath her buttocks. Her body had been posed with her hands over her head, her elbows were bent at a right angle, and her legs were spread apart. So it definitely sounds like there was, you know, sexual foul play. It sounds like she was raped before she was murdered. It's so sad. So, not long after the discovery of the body, people that were passing by and reporters started coming by and taking pictures. And a newspaper reporter, Aggie, what was her last name?
Underwood.
She worked for what newspaper?
LA Herald Express.
The Los Angeles Herald Express. And Aggie was one of the first to arrive at the scene, and she took several pictures of the body and crime scene near the body. And so this stuff is getting out way before anybody has been notified. It's all over the place. Y'all, if this was in 2021, honey, the backlash that newspaper would get, canceled. Yeah. Okay, canceled. They'd be canceled. So the detectives also located a heel print, and that was on the ground. It was near tire tracks, and they also found a cement sack, and it contained watery blood. So is that what he was putting her blood in? Is that the where he put the blood that he drained her? Like
I feel like okay, I see a lot of people like draining blood, like doctors draining blood from corpses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a tube thingy that they put in. Yes. Them, and then they drain it out. I think when the killer drained out the blood, he put it in that sack, that bag. And I guess like either the reporters or the murderer himself came back and took that blood and just drained it in, like, the tub. Because isn't that what Miss Piggy said? She said that.
Yeah, they at autopsies and stuff, yes, that's what they do to drain the blood. Yes, my 14-year-old daughter likes true crime as much as her mama, so yeah.
Not really, I just...
She gets into certain things. But she doesn't have a weak stomach when it comes to certain things. She thinks it's kind of cool.
I laugh at Chucky, so...
She laughs at awkward moments, and she likes Child's Play and Chucky. So, before anybody, you know, says anything about your daughter so young, y'all just have no idea. So, anyway. So, her autopsy was done on January 16th, 1947 by Frederick Newbar. He was the Los Angeles County coroner. And on the autopsy report, this is also a little graphic, so just a little warning. But it stated that Elizabeth Short was 5 feet, 5 inches tall. She weighed 115 pounds. And she had light blue eyes, brown hair, and badly decayed teeth. And for that time... Badly decayed teeth pretty much showed, like, what money bracket you were in. Like, if you were rich, you could go to the dentist and you have pretty teeth. If you were not, then usually your teeth were not the best. So, there were also ligature marks on her ankles, wrist, and neck. So, that tells you that she was tied up. Her arms and her wrist, her ankles were bound together, and her neck had a ligature mark around it as well, so she must have been strangled. I really hope that this woman was strangled before she was cut in half. Just, I really hope she was dead when they did that. So, she also had superficial tissue loss on her right breast, and the coroner also noted that there was superficial lacerations on her right forearm, her left upper arm, and the lower left side of her chest. So, this person was a monster, and I'm really mad that they never called him. Like, they never called him, and he just lived on his little days. Just doing his thing and got away with evil, and I'm mad about it. So the way that her body was cut in half, that was actually a technique that was taught in the 1930s, and what is it called? Okay, hemicorporectomy. I hope I said that right. And it actually goes into detail on Wikipedia if you want to look it up. But I'm not going to go into that detail because ain't nobody need to know how to do that other than a doctor or a coroner. So anyway, exactly. So, but anyway, this technique was taught in the 1930s. And the coroner noted that there was very little bruising at the incision. So that does suggest that she was dead before she was severed in half, and I pray that that is the case, because I would hate to have to think of her feeling all of that. That just breaks my heart. The whole thing is so sad and just vicious. So the cuts on her face, they measured 3 inches on the right side of her face and 2.5 inches on the left side of her face. And her skull was not fractured, but there was bruising on the front and right side of the scalp and a small amount of bleeding on the right side. This was consistent with blows to the head. And the cause of death was determined to be hemorrhaging from the cuts on her face and the shock from the blows to her head. And there was also evidence on her body that she possibly was raped, but they did testing to try to find sperm, and that came back negative. So that is the story of her life before she was murdered, the story of where she was going in life, what she was doing, and the story of them finding her body in the autopsy report. So this is going to be a two-parter episode, and I hope y'all enjoyed tonight's episode with my daughter. Say bye, Jolie.
Bye.
And then tomorrow I will probably do the second half of this one. This is going to go more into depth about the case and everything. And thank y'all so much for joining. Bye.